All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., and we have the honor of focusing on the types of financial habits that entrepreneurs should be developing. And I tell you what, we are really getting some great information on mistakes that can be avoided, mistakes that can be cleaned up, how to get it right from the very beginning, how to get it right as we go. So let's get some more tips from these experts who are sharing with us these powerful, wonderful tips on financial habits, specifically for entrepreneurs.
So they will work with you on what your payments are. So I had a very large tax bill. It was like $37,000 or something, which might as well have been like $1 million to me at the time. And my monthly payment was $150 a month, which meant that my grandchildren would have been paying it off if that's all that I ever paid. But that $150 was at least manageable for me to start paying it and to stop worrying about it. Yeah. So when the stress of the worrying about it and the, oh, how am I going to fix this, was lifted, then you focus on other things. Then you find yourself, oh, you know what? I can send them $300 this month. You know what? I could send them $6. I'm sending $2,000, you know, and within 5.5 years, it was paid off. But you have to take the energy away from, I have this debt, I have this debt, I have this debt, I have this debt, because you'll never get rid of it. Because all you're saying is, I have this debt. And then this is like a silly, like, you know, fluff kind of thing, but it really does work. I wrote in a book 2 years before I paid that debt, I am so appreciative that I am now free of my tax debt. And 2.5 years later, I was.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay, this is the lightning round. We got five people, we got 4 minutes.
Angela Moore, I'm a financial advisor here in Miami, and I'm working on starting a financial advisory business. And I just have a question. What should you invest big in the beginning, and what should you not spend a lot of money on in the beginning?
You know, I think, you know, to be an advisor, you need to be properly licensed and educated.
Oh, I have 10 years of experience, okay. Fully licensed.
So I'd say from that point, you need to surround yourself with people that can help you build that business. You know, the term financial advisor gets thrown around quite a bit. Most that are starting out, even 10 years in the business, need a home, mm-hmm. need a place where they can bounce ideas, be a part of a firm. I think that's a healthy environment for somebody that eventually wants to run their own practice. Many of us, I started 25 years ago in financial services, I got started in a firm. That business itself is tough to kind of spin out as an individual right out the gate.
Right. I worked at Merrill for 6 years, and I'm at Schwab now for 3 years.
Okay, that's an institution. A firm, I think, is on the local level. If you're in a practice with other individuals who are running businesses similar to yours, I think they can help you carve your path. It's a different type of practice. Merrill's and those big institutions, they tend to, you know, it's like a Stepford firm. You know, everybody subscribes to the same thing. That's not how entrepreneurs are born. They mm-hmm. kind of find their own way.
And there, with certain firms, especially like the firm that I found to work through, allows you the freedom to build your business within the business. And so that might be something that you look at. But one thing that you don't want to wind up spending a lot of money on is your office. You know, you want to make it right, so that it's nice, but it doesn't have to look like you have $1 million. You know, don't spend a lot of money on that. Spend money, your money should be on being able to keep yourself educated well enough, and to also network, to be out there, because it's costly to network. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to go out and go to these functions and things, that's what you should be focusing on. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, quick.
Hello.
People behind you are going to be mad.
Okay. So my name is Sherelle Sampson. I'm the founder of Canvey, which is a beauty and personal care company. And I'm faced with a financial decision conundrum. So working with a lean budget, customers are demanding a larger SKU size. How would you advise on the decision between spending that working capital on marketing spend to move pre-existing units, or should you really save that money and put that towards production of larger SKUs?
When you say larger SKUs, do you mean more variety or larger size packages?
Larger size packaging.
You can do larger size packaging during special promotions only so that you can control your expenses. Maybe it's something that you do for holiday, maybe it's something that you do for your anniversary, mm-hmm. and you train them to know that it's only going to be available at those times, mm-hmm. and then you plan it so that you don't cannibalize your other business. So if you're, I'm just gonna make this up, you're slow in February, mm-hmm. you do it for Valentine's Day. You know, so, okay. so and then you train your customers to know these are the two times a year that we do this.
Okay, wonderful, thank you.
Thank you. Quick.
Hi, my name is Yolanda Kills-Walker, and I am the owner of Sweet Extensions Hair Salons and Pink Label Beauty. My question is really from a startup standpoint and reinvestment. So naturally, we are creatives, and we are, you know, comfortable with risk. How do you temper building, financial stability versus, like, reinvestment? For instance, if you have, you know, one product out and you already know you want 10 down the line. Basically, like that's kind of my issue, because I will just put all of my money back into it, still, you know, trying to live the dream, versus, well, maybe putting, you know, a little bit more up.
Well, go ahead.
When you have the financial advisor, the accountant, whoever that person tells you what you can and can't do and when you can't do it. So they give you that guideline to follow and let you know what you should be setting aside and what you can spend, and then you plan against that. And that's probably what you would need, because the creative side and the passionate side will be like, oh, forget it, let's just get,
I'm there.
You know, let's buy the new equipment, let's get the new hair, we can book 12 more people every week. And sometimes you just have to have that conversation with someone else, and then they might come back with, okay, well, what if you get this, and instead of booking 12, you can only book 6, but within 6 months, then you right. can get that. Mm-hmm. So you need that person to level it out.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they are really, really handing down some valuable information. Till next time.